you live from my home studio in beautiful La Puente, California. You know what this is. This is called me buying time because I didn't switch on the board, but it's the All Dodgers podcast. Meh, 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 meh. I have to do it because I can't hear it. But anyways, on today's show, we're talking about your Dodgers. How about that? Yeah, there was some Mookie Betts news that dropped yesterday. Mookie Betts going back to the infield. Not at all shocking. I talked about this last week on Sunday when Kevin and I were live last. We're also going through the top 25 MLB free agents and predicting their destinations, but we're paring it down to 15, and we're really just focusing on people who could maybe potentially become Los Angeles Dodgers. But before we get into the show, guys, my name is Clint Pasillas. Find me as Real FRG on the social media. That guy is Kevin Skinner. At Skinner 7 Kevin. Skinner 7 Kevin, how are you doing? It is a thirsty Thursday, but I don't have a drink because I'm gonna be drinking. Look at us, we're being so sober. High five.
Oh, well, I don't know about that one. I'm just not drinking now.
Oh, not right now. But chat, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We'll be diving into the chat. Let us know where you're representing your Dodgers fandom tonight. I see Charlie Stokes saying, hey, Clint, it's a good night to talk about Dodger baseball. And we believe in that firmly here. Every night's a good night to talk about Dodger baseball. Yeah, if you're watching the show, though, drop into the comments, you know, have a conversation. We're going to be bringing you guys in and out of the conversation that we're having. Again, first off, we will be focusing on the Gavin Lux, Mookie Betts, how the infield sort of shakes out for the Dodgers in 2025, or Daniel Berry Sports Highlights as 2025 champs. So we like that. Let's go ahead and hit. Let's hit a coin. That's a couple points right there at the Berry at the Berry minimum. All right, I'm gonna stop here for a second. Let me do the Bet Online thing, guys. Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting, from the earliest odds to in-game live betting. BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football to NBA to college basketball, NHL, UFC, MMA, it's all there. BetOnline, head to the website today. Get in on the action with America's most trusted platform for online wagering. Of course, this is if you're able to bet in your area. BetOnline, the game starts here. Now, let's talk Mookie Betts, because Dodgers GM Brandon Gomes said yesterday at just about the same time, I mean, literally minutes after I say on Dodgers territory, I can see the Dodgers potentially trading Gavin Lux because I think they really want Mookie Betts back on the infield. Brandon Gomes tells us Mookie Betts is probably almost definitely moving back to the infield. That's what he tells reporters. The plan is to move Mookie back. I'm sure Kevin here got happy for a second, thinking maybe, perhaps, shortstop. Us normal people would say, hey, most likely, perhaps, second base. But for me, right off the bat, I love the idea of Mookie moving back to second base. And I say that, or sorry, moving back to the infield, spoiler alert, it will be second base. But I love the idea because as important as it was to me for him to move back out to the outfield, I wanted center field at one point. Right field obviously made a lot of sense for the World Championship Dodgers. But to have him move out to the outfield then made a lot of sense. But to have him bring him back into the infield, I just like it. I think it's good for him long term. I think that's where Mookie wants to be. And I think his future is as the starting second baseman moving forward for the Dodgers. But what are your opinions on it? And go ahead and talk shortstop Mookie Betts.
So first and foremost, I do think this is the right move. Just the infield in general. It's what he wanted to play last year. And then Gavin Lux couldn't hack it, so they had to move him to second base, which was still the right move at the time. He gets injured, he comes back, and then instead of having to fight an injury and rehab and learn a new position, they just move him to right field where he's the most comfortable. And look, it worked out, obviously. Yeah. I mean, the man's won 6 gold gloves back there. He's a tremendous outfielder. He'll go down as one of the best right fielders of all time. So that's a no-brainer. Going into this year, though, I think the Dodgers, and we said this on the last podcast, is I think they needed to honor what he wanted. I think the conversation needed to be had of, okay, Mook, you did what we did literally everything we asked you to last year. You moved to second base, then you moved to shortstop, and then we said, hey, can you go back to the outfield? And you did it too. So this year, if you're $365 million man, I should probably turn this on. we should, you know, do what he wants a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like him coming back to the infield. He even admitted that it's easier on his body. Now, for me, I think give him an entire offseason to learn shortstop. Just give it to him.
Uh-huh.
He admits that was his position growing up. He's wanted to play there before. He still kind of does. But his opportunity at the major league level, at the peaks of baseball, was with a week's worth of notice.
Yeah,
that's tough to do, and he had to learn on the job. And then he went to Korea, came back, didn't really get, you know, there's a whole time change. There's a lot to be said about how rough that is on the body, let alone having to play a professional sport at the highest level afterwards. So I think move him back to short. Give him the entire offseason. Say, hey, man, you've got one offseason to learn this, and believe in him. Because I think, in my opinion, if Max Muncy can learn to play third base as well as he hasn't turned himself into, you know, 2021 Nolan Arenado or current day Manny Machado, but he's serviceable. He's good enough. I definitely think Mookie Betts can become good enough at shortstop. And all of a sudden, you don't have to spend the Dodgers, don't have to spend the probably upper 20s, low 30s in millions a year on Willie Adames.
Yeah.
And you get to keep Gavin Lux. I know he's a polarizing figure, but he plays a good enough second base. He's a contact bat. He doesn't strike out a ton. He's a good bat in this lineup. You know, spring training 2023, we were all clamoring for Gavin Lux to get his opportunity in the infield because of how good he was in the year prior.
Yeah, when healthy.
Prior to his neck injury. So we know that the talent is there. He can do it. I think a Mookie Lux infield is perfectly serviceable, and I also think it allows you to bring back someone like a Teoscar Hernandez, because I don't think realistically they're going to be able to sign Willie Adames and Teoscar.
We'll talk more about that when we talk free agents, destinations later on the show. I think that this team does print money to a degree. I think, it will be a lot more difficult for them to sign both Teoscar Hernandez and Willie Adames. But I don't disagree with a lot of your points there. I think Mookie Betts can be a lot better at shortstop given an offseason's worth of work. However, given his age, just kind of the way he talked about playing shortstop as well, this is a man that has never really failed. He hasn't failed much in his life, in his endeavors, but he talked about the challenges. He talked about getting kind of, paraphrasing here, kicked in the teeth there, learning on the job. And it was very much learning on the job. Credit to him for saying, I'll do whatever the team needs, because that's how yipped up Gavin Lux was at the end of spring training last year. Even early in spring training, that was the situation that unfolded. That said, I can't see them, knowing that in the long run, they'll most likely want him at second base. I can't see them buying, one more year of Mookie at second base. He's, again, one more year older. At shortstop, he'll be one more year older by the time we get to next year. And then, I understand that there's another shortstop. There could be more shortstops available. Maybe somebody in the organization steps up, and Alex Freeland. They do have some younger shortstops, so they need a little bit of a gap. And you do have stop gaps with Tommy Edman laying around. I'll sit here and say that I don't know if I feel comfortable with the concept of Tommy Edman being right now anointed the everyday starting shortstop next year. I think he was solid. I think he's a Gold Glove defender. He made some really good plays. He also botched a couple, didn't have a lot of work there himself. I think he's a phenomenal backup, break in case of emergency. Clearly he can do it. And as of this moment, he is a World Series champion shortstop. But I don't know if this is me, starting to tease towards a Willie Adames. That said, listen, there's two paths here for Gavin Lux, and I don't think either path is second base. I really don't. It's either he is going to put in work. Either way, he's putting in work at shortstop. This whole offseason, he's going to be working his ass off at Dodger Stadium. We will all start seeing the videos soon enough of him working at Dodger Stadium with Dino Ebel, whoever else is going to be there. Gavin Lux is going to be learning shortstop. His biggest value to this team, if he wants to be on it, is as a shortstop. So there's two paths for Gavin Lux. It is going to be as a shortstop or as a trade piece. Now, talked a little bit about the idea of a trade. I've thrown out just concepts of a trade with like the White Sox, Garrett Crochet, revisiting a deal with that. The White Sox are reportedly listening on Garrett Crochet. Bob Nightingale said today that they will, quote, trade him this winter. It will happen, and we could always trust Bob. And the White Sox GM came out today saying that they are looking for position players, which does play well with the Gavin Lux. He does have team control through, what is it, 2027 or through 26, and then he's a free agent in 27.
Yeah. For Crochet. Oh, Gavin Lux or Crochet?
For Lux. For Lux. Okay. Yeah, I think they're both about the same. No, this is Crochet's final year, no?
No,
he has one more year. Oh, that's right. He does have more. The Dodgers do surprisingly have some position player depth that they could trade in a Crochet deal. And I don't know if you consider Gavin Lux a headliner in that, but if it's a Lux and a Cartaya and, you know, James Outman, and then also like another good piece, like not to say Cartaya isn't a good piece and Lux isn't a good piece, but somebody else that has some upside, whether that be, I already said it earlier, Alex Freeland, you know, Noah Miller. I don't know. I'm thinking some of those minor league infielders that they might want to move. But again, for me, the path forward for Gavin Lux is learn shortstop or get good at shortstop again. Be league average at shortstop. Get healthy. You know, he'll be 1 year healthier. The knee issues behind him, you know, he started putting those behind him in June. And if he is kind of the guy, if the Dodgers do say, we'll give you a chance at shortstop, again, they do have two breaking case of emergency guys again in Tommy Edman and Miguel Rojas. So, but that's for me, that's the two paths. Mookie Betts is going to be the starting second baseman. I'm sorry.
Sorry to you, mainly.
That's
fair. I don't see Gavin Lux playing shortstop for the Dodgers simply because the same problem exists. It was never his athleticism. It was never his knee. It was always his arm. He has one of the worst arms in baseball that makes that throw to first base incredibly difficult. We saw it in spring training. I know he got the yips at a point, but he was either overthrowing Freddie or spiking the ball. It was never anything. He never hit his chest. He never had a good one hop like we saw JT do over and over and over again in Max Muncy. So I don't see it unless, you know, Gavin Lux gets anchor arms from SpongeBob. I don't see him magically becoming a good shortstop. In terms of a trade, I'm out on Crochet. Personally, he had a terrible second half. He had a 569 OPS against in the first half, an 823 OPS in the second half. OPS against in the second half. It was a 302 ERA versus a 512. They shut him down at a point. He's never been a starter. We don't know what that arm looks like at this point. And I see what you're saying. They want position players. Mm-hmm. I would rather them make a move for Sonny Gray. He has 1 year less of team control, so he's much cheaper. He's a bona fide starter. He's started over 120 innings three of the last 4 years. He's a lot cheaper trade-wise. And the reason I say that is because maybe you can trade a Gavin Lux and pair it with Chris Taylor and some of his contract and alleviate a little bit of that for a 35-year-old at that point, Sonny Gray. Because if you're trading a Gavin Lux with, you know, 2 to 3 years of team control, that doesn't read, hey, yeah, I want a starting pitcher for a 35-year-old starting pitcher for 1 year. So maybe you can package a little bit of Chris Taylor's money because they're also looking for position players.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got a real deal. Crochet is just going to be a little too expensive and a little too much of a question mark for me, especially when you started adding like Cartaya and then another good piece.
When you say expensive, you mean prospect wise or prospect return wise. Yeah, because he's got a super team friendly deal right now. I think he's only making what, 10, 15 million next year or something like that for somebody who is ace level. I love the fact that he's left handed. That goes a long way. As great as Sonny Gray has been throughout his career, he's also, you know, on the wrong side. I'd rather see them explore re-signing Jack Flaherty. And spoiler alert for later on in the show, I don't think Jack Flaherty comes back. As much as I love Sonny Gray, hey, would you also try to get Nolan Arenado in the trade? I'm sorry.
No, because you much can't love trade to Chris Taylor for Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Those are mutually exclusive.
I from what we've seen, reports today or yesterday, reports this week say that the Cardinals are looking to cut some salary, and Sonny Gray is one of those guys. They're very much focusing on potentially being, you know, moved this winter, this off season. We got $1.99 super chat from Mr. John Rod 7. Thank you, Mr. John Rod, hanging out with us. There's no shortstop. We're talking about a Mookie Betts here back there. So trying to save his body, not bury it. I think he can handle it. It would require some, you know, maybe another day off per week, which as he gets a little bit older, I'm not opposed to Mookie Betts getting an extra day off per week, even though that's not really his prerogative right now, as the team has Freddie Freeman on it, who expects everybody to play 161 games a year. But that said, I still don't see Mookie Betts happening. Nando 390 a little bit ago says Luck's opportunity lasted all but a few games at spring training. Yeah, it did, but again, he was coming off the injury, and as much as he didn't want to admit it at the time, he was in his head still about that knee, and rightfully so. He hadn't even been one full calendar year removed from surgery at that point. So, I was in my head about his knee, even in the offseason. I forgot at one point when we were talking about his struggles, and then eventually him coming out mentioning the fact that he was kind of worried about the plant and you know, like really pushing down with that right leg, that right knee as part of his swing. I had mentioned that in a show a year, you know, not a year ago, but whatever, like early in the offseason. Like one of the concerns I would have is him mentally not being able to get over that hurdle, or it affecting his swing, which it ultimately did. But we saw him get over it. And when he's right, when he's healthy, when he's in the right mindset, he's a very good platoon player at the bare minimum. And maybe that means the Dodgers are going to be in the market for somebody who is a free agent. We'll talk with Willy Adames a little bit later. But yeah, that's kind of the situation. You know, the Dodgers have created themselves conversation this winter. Young Yi would rather see the Dodgers sign Blake Snell and trade for Garrett Crochet. I do like Crochet. I would love to see Crochet in a real organization. You got to figure, you know, Crochet second half. What did the White Sox have going on? Absolutely nothing. You saw how miserable Miggy Vargas was.
I know, but he's got to, you know, baseball is the sport where once you're out of it, you've got to play for yourself. And if, you know, he tanked his trade market by saying, I want to play for a contender and I won't play for them unless I resign or get an extension. And then he didn't perform either. So in terms of trying to establish himself, he wanted to be a starter and they shut him down because he wasn't a good starter in the second half. Those are real red flags that I have to trade really like a lot of capital, trade capital
prospect,
for a player. Yeah, that's a lot, and those are some serious red flags that I don't know if I would be comfortable giving up even a Diego Cartaya, because we know what his upside can be. Gavin Lux, and he's at least a major league starting second baseman, where we don't even know if Garrett Crochet is a major league starting pitcher. He might still just be a reliever that occasionally can give you some length.
Like, I'm okay, though, because I'm okay leveraging the potential of somebody like Diego Cartaya, who's never going to have, he doesn't have a path to playing time as a Dodger. At no point in time will he have a path to playing time. At some point, it will be Dalton rushing season, and he's somebody who could maybe back up Will Smith while also playing left field. But there's not a path to playing time at any point for Diego Cartaya, and the organization is plainly just not in on his defensive ability and, you know, like other parts of his game still developing. He's taken, you know, last couple seasons, taken some massive steps backwards. If you have any value for him, if the White Sox are looking to sort of, you know, build something, you do have a catcher of the present and the future in a Diego Cartaya. And this is something I'd said on Dodgers territory. You know, Lux is an infielder for them, and there are other pieces. If it is a James Outman or if it's other, like, I don't think they go top of the food chain when it comes to prospects. Like, hold on to Josue de Paula. Hold on to, you know, last year's first overall pick, not first overall pick, but their first round draft pick, Kellen Lindsay. Hold on to most of your starting pitching if you can, because apparently they want position players. You know, if it is some of these other dudes that are more than likely never going to see the light of day in Dodger blue, or at least at the big league level, like, trade them now. This is the window we got to take advantage of now. Next year is, you got everybody still, like, there, you know, there's still Muncy, there's still Will, there's still Freddie, there's still Mookie, Shohei, all these people. Take advantage while you can. Absolutely. I guess. And that said, to button it up, I don't know, I've been yesterday I was really like all in on the idea. And we'll get out of here in a second. Before I read the super chat as well from Richie Flores, thank you very much, Richard, for the $10 super chat. But yesterday, I was all in on the idea. I really did think, you know, Gavin Lux's days are numbered in the organization. But today, I've thought about it more. And thinking a lot about like the Willy Adames free agency that we are going to talk about in just a couple minutes, I really do think the organization will consider giving Lux one more chance to figure out how to play shortstop, because we have seen it. He was, when he filled in for Corey Seager in 21 with the hamstring, he was perfectly passable shortstop. I've seen worse shortstops with lesser arms. Shout out David Eckstein. Play the shortstop position. Win World Series, plural, as, you know, a 5'4" shortstop with no throwing ability. Gavin has a little bit more of an arm. It's just about the footwork. It's about the compete. Maybe clean his locker if you guys watched On Base with Mookie Betts and Dave Roberts. But I do think they're going to give him one more chance. Like, it's one of their boys. He's still cheap. He's projected to get, like, I think a raise to $2.7 million in arbitration. He's still very cheap, and he's under team control. If you can save some money and move it around, I think pitching is more of an area of need or concern when you consider the state of the rotation, especially as it is at this moment. But $9.99 super chat from our friend Richie Flores. Thank you very much, Rich, for hanging out with us. He says, trading Mad Max and Edmund for Arenado is a great idea. Sincerely, guys wearing sweatpants after taking Viagra. We need healthy pitchers. Can't depend on the Catman, May, and Kirsch. The first part, I will ignore. Alana already made herself. Alana made herself the dork of the week on Fair Territory today. She understood that she had a. I think how she said it was like it started out as a great idea, and then I did not word it well. So love that lady, and I'll be happy to throw in her face a little bit for fun on Monday when we are back live at 12 o'clock Pacific time. But Richie talking about can't depend on the Catman, Dustin May, or Clayton Kershaw. You can't. Yeah, I mean, considering. Right now, Tony Gonsolin is your number four starter. That's a pretty big concern for me.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. And we were talking about him maybe sliding into the bullpen, not just as a postseason piece, but just in general. That might be his best spot just to preserve his arm. I think we'll get a little bit more enlightenment on that as we get closer to the season, because he'll be built up a little bit more. And I think, obviously, the moves they make this offseason will dictate or, you know, indicate whether or not he's part of their long-term plan in the starting rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. Javier says, please, Clint, no Lux to shortstop. I don't disagree. I will say I don't disagree. But if it means them, you know, spending money in other places, you know, we can have a Juan Soto or Willy Adames conversation, you know, at some point in time. But even so, that's the infield talk for now. We'll talk more about it as the weeks progress. But I'm going to take a minute to say one, because I haven't said it today, because I don't think Diane's in the chat to remind me. Guys, hit that subscribe button if you have not hit the subscribe button yet. We did pass 8,000 subscribers this week, so thank you very much. We're actually at like 8,050 now as of earlier this afternoon. So that's really fucking cool. That's fruckin', I said. So don't demonetize me. But yeah, it means a lot that you guys have, you know, found the show. You know, tuned in. Hopefully you like the back and forth we have here, mixing you guys in as much as we can. It's a lot of fun doing this show, a lot of fun doing this. At the end of our show last week, somebody said, I saw a comment that mentioned, you know, I'm tired of all these shows like not being run by fans or whatever, or having like some sort of corporate, like there's no corporate backing on the show. This is all my name. I brought this dude aboard. We're both generally nobodies who are also somebody, who are also human beings and people and breathe and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's not some corporation. It's just us. So your subscription means a lot to us. Hitting that thumbs up, sharing the videos go a long way as well. If there's anything, you know, that you want another fellow Dodger fan to have a conversation about, share the video. Also, if you're looking for a different way to support the show, check out our Patreon or the YouTube members. It's $5 a month. And with that, you also get access to our Discord server where we talk Dodger baseball still all day long, even in the off season. There's a lot of, you know, free agency, Willy Adames, Juan Soto talk going on in the Discord. So do check that out. If you can't, then subscribe to the channel if you're not there. I want to touch this one real quick from Elisheva Jones, because we don't have Blake Treinen in our free agency list because he's not one of the top 25 guys, according to MLB.com. But she says Dodgers must re-sign Blake Treinen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Dave wants him back. I think everybody wants Blake Treinen back.
Yeah. I mean, when he's right, he's right. And he's one of the nastiest pitchers in baseball. It's just going to come down to money, as most things do. And he more than earned an incredibly lucrative deal, maybe one that outprices him. From Andrew Friedman and Co., who don't really like to spend too much money on relief pitching. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, they do not. They do not. And I appreciate that. Let's talk free agency. I think that's a big thing. We have, it's top 25 free agent destinations around MLB, but in reality, it's more so the top 15 free agents, but it's not even the top 15 that MLB.com. It's top 15 players that we think the Dodgers could or should be linked to at some point throughout this very long offseason. Again, this list is using MLB.com's list. We start right at the top with Mr. Juan Soto. Listen, we know the Dodgers will be talking to Juan Soto. I think they already have, or if not, there's some sort of conversations happening very soon, because I think Juan Soto's camp is in L.A. at the moment, if I read something right. But the Dodgers are going to be talking to Juan Soto's camp, i.e. Scott Boras, this offseason. I'm sure they'll be talking to him a lot at different points in time. Could they sign him, and should they sign him? That is the conversation here when we're talking about Juan Soto. I will give you the floor, because we've talked around this. We've also kind of talked about it. But do you think the Dodgers will be honestly in on Juan Soto, knowing that he is a Scott Boras guy?
So to answer all of those questions, could they and should they? The answer to both of those is yes. Will they? And honestly, the answer is no. I think with Scott, you know, Juan Soto has made it very well known that he wants to be a very well-paid player. He even said that he's going to listen to any and all. He's not going to turn down anyone as long as the contract and the money is there. Scott Boras is his agent. It's a match made in Scrooge McDuck's heaven. So I don't see the Dodgers forking up the amount of money that's probably going to be needed for him. You know, we're talking a potential record-breaking contract. I've seen a lot of numbers thrown around. The big one is an AAV over $47 million in present-day value, because that beats Shohei's current contract. And with the amount of money, or with how young he is, he's 26 years old. That could be 10, 12, 14 years at that price. I just don't see the Dodgers doing it. What I could see happening is basically what they did with Bryce Harper, and which is, we'll give you 5 years, $300 million, go re-enter free agency at 31 years old, go make another bag, and we can go from there. I don't know if he takes it. I doubt he takes it. That's probably something that gets released after he signs, and we kind of look at it and go, of course they did. But I don't see them realistically offering, you know, 14 years at, you know, whatever 14 times 47 is.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I think it's going to be more. There's a lot of factors at play here. One, I don't know if any one is higher or lower on the list. First thing that comes to mind is the Scott Boras factor. Like, Scotty Boras needs a win. After last offseason, it was an embarrassment for Scott Boras. Absolutely. He needs a lot of money. And he started this offseason off pretty poorly with the Gerrit Cole thing. Gerrit Cole thought he was going to get an extra year and $36 million guaranteed. The Yankees said, no, we're not comfortable with that. And they was like, okay, can I come back, please? That's the way I'm, you know, paraphrasing it. So Scott Boras, for arguably the best pure hitter since Barry Bonds, no steroids, for him to take a deal where he re-enters free agency, yeah, there's probably going to be an opt-out in there, but to have it be a for sure short deal, I just can't envision him being okay with that. And on the flip side with Soto, listen, he wants to be he wants to have one of the longest contracts. He wants to have one of the highest AAVs of all time, which he will break. My prediction is I've been set at 13 years, $650 million. So now we bring in the other factor. I don't know, in thinking with my Andrew Friedman cap, I don't know that I'm comfortable going to that rate for that long. Because it's a lot of money. While you already have guys like Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts making a lot of money through all of those years, and then especially Shohei later on into that contract. So I think. Listen, at the root of it, you absolutely want Juan Soto's bat in your lineup. He is, I would say, the best, like, pound for pound hitter, slugger, on base machine in baseball today. Like Shohei's not very far behind, but this dude just gets on base. We saw him in the postseason. Like, he's proven everything. He's already a World Series champion as a very young player as well with the Washington Nationals. But when it comes to the money, when it comes to the Boris factor, when it comes to the fact that the Dodgers already have a lot of money committed, and yeah, people love to say they print money, but the reason this organization is able to have this sustainability over the past 12 years and going is because they do go back to the farm. They do care about, you know, bringing up people that are cheaper so they can backfill other spots around the roster. So I don't see that. I see them being in. I don't see them getting him. And there's another final major factor. This offseason, Steve Cohen will not be outbid. Yeah. Juan Soto is going to be a New York Met. It's probably going to be like a 15-year deal,
yep,
just because of the absurdity of Steve Cohen. But Cohen and the Mets, he got that taste. He got the taste of the postseason. They got back much sooner than they thought after trading away Scherzer and Verlander the 2023 trade deadline. You bring in Juan Soto to pair with Francisco Lindor. Maybe they bring back Pete Alonso. Like, it's a frightening lineup. And then, okay, this is, if you're talking about somebody who prints money, it's Steve Cohen. And, you know, for reasons we don't need to name, he's probably going to just end up making more money all of a sudden over the next, let's say, about 4 years. So, he's going to want Juan Soto. He got the taste of being that close to the World Series, and he wants to get there. Juan Soto will be a New York Met.
Yeah, so I have him going to the Mets as well. The last, you know, kind of reason I don't think he'll be a Dodger is because Soto is not good defensively. It was a small Yankees right field, and he's not a good defender even in that small right field. He's ideally
a Gold Glove finalist. Yeah, what are you talking about?
And Francisco Lindor isn't. This is such a joke of an award. Such a joke of an award. So realistically, he's a first baseman / DH. You know, spoiler alert, the Dodgers have a DH for the next 9 additional years. So I don't think there's a way. If they can somehow manage to do it, sure, awesome, fantastic. I just don't see a way they can fit his bat into the lineup with what I believe their plans will be at first base moving forward, which is going to include, like, Will Smith probably moving over there after Freddie's contract is up in 3 years. So you can ask Yankees fans, you know, when they got him, they're like, okay, just play average defense. Yeah. And if you ask any Yankees fans, they're like, yeah, average defense is about the best compliment you could give him, or the highest compliment you could give him, because it's not good. So that's what I'll say. I think he's going to be a Met because I don't see Hal Steinbrenner forking up the kind of money that Steve Cohen's about to.
Yeah, that's one another factor I think a lot of people don't take into consideration is that Hal Steinbrenner is not George Steinbrenner. He is much more frugal. He's not going out there blowing a bunch of money to make the Yankees, as, you know, as high as the payroll was this year. It's not going to match that. It's absolutely not going to match that in 2025. Again, Steve Cohen has all the money in the world. As good of a fit as it was in New York with the Yankees last year, he's staying in New York. He will be a Met. On the defense thing, I would say as a Dodger, you could probably project that Juan Soto's defense would be better. However, you can't teach, you can't adjust for bad first steps, bad reads, and bad routes in the outfield. And Juan Soto is the king of all of those. Go look at his low light reels on the internet, and you'll understand why a lot of people, I mean, when you have somebody the talent level of Juan fucking Soto available, the amount of people, the amount of Dodgers fans who want literally every big name, the amount of people that I've seen online on YouTube, Twitter, all these spaces, who have said they don't want him. Like, yeah, the young kids who don't understand, like, clubhouse chemistry, they just look at the numbers and they just look at fan graphs and all of this shit. They're like, oh, Juan Soto's a generational talent. But there's more to it than just that.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it, and that's the factor where us old heads are like, you know, to have that for the next 13, 14, 15 years, it can sour you for sure.
Yep.
Absolutely. Quickly, Alex Renteria a little bit ago asking, do you think teams can hold out on Soto like they did last year with Boris Clients? I don't think so this year. Plus, Juan Soto, he's not like, you know, Blake Snell, he's not who were the other guys last
Cody.
Year then?
Blake Snell, Cody, and Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah. Oh, the Montgomery. Yeah, like he's a sure, like, he's the surest of sure that you can get when it comes to just you plug him. It's a plug and play. Like there's he's the easiest, like 35, 290, like 950 OPS you're going to plug into your lineup with bad
low
defense.
Mid fours yeah. OBP without batting an eye. He's an absolutely ridiculous player, but the fit matters. When you're going to give out money that large, fit has to matter. Fit's got to factor into it. And I don't see the fit. Obviously, if it happens, I'll talk myself into it.
Yeah, there's
not
a lot.
Not hard to do.
Not difficult to talk yourself into Juan Soto at all. But again, just I don't see it. I do not see it happening with the Dodgers a lot because, again, the Mets aren't going to be outbid. I like this comment as well. This will be the final one before we move on. Orlando says Soto has that Padre stink on him. I think there's a little bit of that in the back of my head too.
Nah, but, okay. He was on that team, but I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyways. All right, the next couple, I think, are going to be a little bit quicker here, but let's talk Corbin Burnes for a second. He is second on MLB.com's list. Of course, he's long been linked to the Dodgers, pitched last year, pitched well, like phenomenally, for the Baltimore Orioles. And he is a free agent for the first time in his career, and he's, what, 30? I think he's 30 years old, right?
I think he's only 29.
Is he only 29? He's going to be 30. Boy. Okay.
He'll be 30 by the time the season starts, if I remember correctly.
So he
no,
is
he
there.
Just turned 30. He just
okay.
turned
30. That's what, that is what I thought I had read about him. We'll make Corbin Burnes quicker and sweeter because I don't think the Dodgers, they'll be in on him. There will be conversations. I don't think they'll sign him.
No, I don't either. He's just the way the rotation is currently constructed, they don't need an ace. They could use one. Every team could use another one because pitch. You never have enough pitching, but they don't need an ace. The teams that I actually think he could go to, like the Giants or the Rangers, Red Sox types teams that could use it. The Giants need somebody else besides Logan Webb. Rangers are losing Max Scherzer, so they need someone else besides DeGrom and the Red Sox.
And maybe Nady Eovaldi.
Yeah, and maybe Nady Eovaldi. Exactly. And then the Red Sox just don't have anybody, really. So those teams are in desperate need of an ace, where I don't think the Dodgers will pay. He'll probably make minimum 30 a year with how good he is. And it's also an innings thing. Like, this dude just posts.
Yes.
He has 167, is the lowest since 2021. And I think he pitched every game in 2020. So, like, the dude just posts at an elite level. Mm-hmm. He's going to get the bag. And I don't think the Dodgers are going to be interested in another bag for a pitcher.
Another guy I will say, another team I will say, it's going to be the Mets. I feel it in my bones that Steve Cohen also wants an ace. And if he's able to get the top two free agents on the market, according to MLB.com, oh my God, he would just be walking around New York with the meatiest hog you would ever imagine. Of course, I'm talking about a hot dog, of course. All right, let's move on. This one's going to bother people. It bothered Kevin when I told him I was leaving him on the list earlier. I flipped 3 and 4 for a reason. We'll talk about that next. But third on the list, which is technically number 4 on the MLB list, it's Alex Bregman. I don't think we need to talk too much about Alex Bregman, but I figured for the sake of, one, this is engagement bait to even have the idea of Alex Bregman
in here.
Put him
on the thumbnail.
Put him on the thumbnail. I should have done that. Hey, you know, remember, I think that was one of your first episodes with me as well. You had mentioned Alex Bregman as a potential trade candidate. Obviously, there's a trash can's worth. You could fill a trash can with the amount of reasons Dodgers fans wouldn't have a problem with him. But also, he doesn't fit the team's need. They don't need a third baseman right now. He's another Boris guy as well. So Bregman will not be a Dodger. I'm sorry, everybody. I know. Calm down. I know everybody wanted him. I think he returns to the Astros, but I have the Yankees as kind of a close second. And even closer second to that is Mets if Adamas signs elsewhere. Because the Mets, man, we'll talk Willie Adamas in a second. Did I copy you? Did I steal your homework?
No, not at all. I have two AL teams, two different AL teams. Yeah, so I actually have the Mariners and the Blue Jays. They both have desperate needs at third base.
Jays is a great call.
Neither of them have third baseman.
And they need it. They need a grown-up there,
too. They
need
a bat. Yeah, they need a bat. And you get a Bregman plus Springer back together. That's a Dodgers' worst nightmare, in my opinion. It's gross just saying it.
Yeah.
But I think he could get a good amount of money. The Mariners don't really spend, but they desperately need offense. And their pitching is cheap still outside of Luis Castillo. So I think that's something that they could finally pay for. Now, the trouble with him is he's been declining the last 3 years with an 820, 804, and 768 OPS. And he had his lowest walk. He had the lowest walks of his entire career this year outside of the COVID season. So he's not taking his walks, which is obviously leading to a lower OPS. There's some concern there, but he's still I think if you ask anybody, even after 2017, he's just a really professional at bat. You know, it's you know, you hate making the comp, but it's like a Justin Turner. You don't really care about the age. You just know he's going to get up there. He'll post. He's not really going to look overmatched. He could put the ball in play. But I see Mariners or Blue Jays finally locking down a third baseman because they need it.
Kevin Uhas says, Kevin, trash cans are my worst nightmare. Ellis Sheva Jones saying Dodgers don't need cheaters. Yeah, I mean, imagine winning a World Series and then the team's like, we brought in Alex Bregman.
Only worse if they traded for Correa.
There was a point.
Can you imagine Lux for Correa? Who says no?
Oof, a lot of people. Listen, people can slam me too. At one point, I was okay with the idea of Correa. I have very much since re-soured on Carlos Correa. But I do like the idea of the Blue Jays. We know, very painfully well, they were in on Shohei Ohtani. So they have some money to spend. That's a really good one. You know what? I'm changing all my answers. I'm stealing off your homework here. I'm saying the Blue Jays land Alex Bregman. I combined these next two. It's number 3 on the list, number 5 on the list. Blake Snell, Max Fried. The Dodgers need to add starting pitching this offseason. I think they really need to add a lefty, as Sarah Morris said in the chat as well. They need a left-handed starter, and I disagree with something you said earlier. I think they do want one more ace-level pitcher. But
it kept a usual, of course.
But Blake Snell, Max Fried, both prominently going to be featured on all of the hot stove lists over the next couple of months because I don't think they're going to sign very early. Who would we rather see the Dodgers pursue between those two, and or who is the best fit for the Dodgers? That's my question there. I'll let you lead off on this one too because it's fun that way.
Spoiler alert, I don't have the Dodgers in on either of these guys. Just throwing that out there. I don't.
I have a button. I'm going to say that one works.
That works, yeah. If you're asking me who's the better fit, I think it's going to be Max Fried. I'm not bought in on Blake Snell. He has 2 Cy Young Awards. That's fantastic. He's had 2 absolutely dominant years, but if you look at the outside of those 2 years, he's a mid-threes to mid-fours guy. And he just turned down $30 million next year. So he's going to be looking for another bag. Obviously, he did well in the second half with the Giants. You know, you can blame not signing early, so he signed late. and didn't have spring training to really build himself up. I don't know. You know, he's got a lot of like 4.3s, 4.1 years. He's got a 3.8 in there. And I don't know if I'm comfortable, you know, kind of asking myself every year, okay, are we going to get like the 2.5 guy or are we getting the 4.2 guy this year? Not for the amount of money he's going to ask for. Max Fried, if they're going to sign one of the two, I'd rather it be Max Fried. Max Fried is just consistent. He had a shoulder injury, I think, last year, which sidelined him for a little bit, but he's a career 3.07 ERA guy. He's not a big strikeout guy. He's a ground ball guy, which if, you know, the Dodgers keep the left side of the infield the way it is, or the, you know, they've shown better left side of the field defense. I think that plays at Dodger Stadium. So I do think Max Fried is the consistent choice. Like, if I'm going to hand out money, I want consistency, and that's it. And we have to address right field pavilion with $100 super chat. It says San Francisco Giants won 3 rings from 2010 to 15 and were considered a dynasty by many experts. The Dodgers now have 2 rings from 20 to 24. How many more rings will the Dodgers need to win to be considered a dynasty in your opinion? Hashtag go Dodgers. Just one right in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I agree. I would say next year. Let's just do it next year. But goddamn, right field pavilion, thank you so much for the super chat. Another $100 super chat. You are the man. You are amazing. We appreciate you. And always bring in, you know, some good stuff in the questions as well. Some
really good,
thought-provoking conversation. I think one more, it's a dynasty. You know, they mentioned it on in that podcast with Mookie and Dave Roberts. You know, it's like you hear 3 and 5. Well, you got 2 and 5 now. You know, like you could arguably have 3 and 8. What is it? 3 and 8. If it wasn't for those cheaters and
three
Alex Bregman.
No, 3 and 7. 3 and 7.
Yeah. They're good.
Absolutely.
They're good.
And especially because they started it in 20. If you win 3 in the 20s, that's a dynasty right there. That's like 3 and 10. So I'm all in. Just get me 3. One last thing before I close out on the Blake Snell, Max Fried thing. I don't think the Dodgers need a left-handed starter. They just won a World Series with all right-handed starters and bullpen arms. I just get me good starters. I don't care what hand they throw with.
Give me good players, living players. I would like to see a lefty in there. Once again, thank you again to Right Field Pavilion. And another nice comment I wanted to read here. Well, I'll read this one first because Alex Renteria said Blue Jays still waiting for that plane to land. But Justin Huffman a couple minutes ago said, just want to offer support. Y'all make the day and offer up honest opinions as fans. Keep up the great work, boys. Highlight of my day. Appreciate you, Justin, for the kind words. That's the goal here is it's honest thoughts. We're not trying to sell you on anything. We're just trying to sell you on listening to the show. That's about it. Have a conversation here. All of us having a conversation together. So appreciate you hanging out with us. BC says, I'll switch camera for you, but BC says, get me some good lefties. Agree. And these are the two best lefties that will be available on the free agent market. You know what? Listen. Blake Snell is David Vasse's best friend, apparently, whenever they're in town. So I think that's good enough. I'm pretty sure that's all you really need to sign the man. But between the two, I would honestly say Blake Snell, there's a higher chance of him signing with the Dodgers. I know I got to grab my booze after I'm done riffing here to celebrate Right Field Pavilion as well. I think, though... yeah, Blake Snell, the rumors, the team has been linked to him a whole bunch over the last year and a half. They were linked to him late in free agency. There was at one point just before the start of spring training where I put out a video on the channel talking about, like, you know what? Maybe they do need Blake Snell. Maybe, like, I was starting to get myself scared and super worried about the state of the starting rotation. Maybe I had already started talking to Alana Rizzo by that point because she was scared of the starting rotation the entire season, and she proved to be right, although they did pull 3 starters out of their ass in the World Series and all that kind of stuff. Bob Nightingale in the chat says, we should all be in on Cole Hamels, and let's just go ahead and boo that man a little bit.
Danny Duffy, too.
Danny Duffy. Oh, man. But yeah, if I'm looking at the two of those guys, one, I think Max Fried ends up back in Atlanta if he doesn't sign with Texas. That's where I'm at. As much as he wants to be a Dodger, I prefer Blake Snell because while I agree with the inconsistency take, he would also be coming to the Dodgers, who are the best at everything. We understand the Rays are also very good, but he was younger, a little bit different of a dude then. But he has strikeout stuff. He has some punch. Yep. And when he has, you know, the right kind of manager, he can pitch deeper into games. He's not just a five and dive kind of guy all the time. He can get you six or seven. Pitched his first career complete game this year with the Giants, shockingly with the Giants. Yeah, give me Snell over Fried. I do think they'll be in play on both. I really do think there'll be a lot of conversations. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers ended up landing Max Fried, because, you know, there is that consistency. There is innings, and if, you know, you look at the starting rotation, again, as it stands, Shohei Ohtani missed all of 2024 as a pitcher, is coming back, hasn't really ever finished a season, you know, a full season pitching and hitting healthy. Yamamoto had the shoulder issue. His shoulder fell off for 3 months. The other guy, Tyler Glasnow, wasn't even pitching in September. So there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of things to worry about with the current guys. And then, of course, you got Gonsolin, who missed the entire 2024 season. You have Dustin May, who literally cannot stay healthy if his life depended on it. You need one of those guys, and I prefer Snell, but, you know, again, if it is Fried, he gives you innings, and he gives you that consistent veteran presence in the four or three or whatever spot they put him in the starting rotation. So where did you have Snell going?
Okay, so I had him going back to the Padres or the Angels.
Ooh.
It seems like such an arty move. Because Snell, we know Snell has a preference for the left coast. Artie loves bringing in big names on contracts that he maybe spent a little too much for. I don't know. It's something. He just smells like an angel. Just a little. Just a hint of you know, Anaheim / Fullerton.
Who was the dude, the lefty that he signed from Texas at the same time they signed Josh Hamilton? I can't remember the dude's name.
Oh my god!
He was a reliever for the Rangers as well, on those World Series teams and all of that. But yeah, I could see that. Somebody that's no, because Blake Snell's an actual ace. But still, even so, I don't know. Artie's not smart. He's not smart, Artie. I got Fried, Atlanta or Texas, and Snell, Dodgers or Mets. Because I think if the Mets don't get Burns, I think they'll be in on Snell. There you go. CJ Wilson. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you. In the chat, appreciate you raking bank. Also appreciate our friend, one of our favorite Kevins here in the chat, of the chat of many Kevins, but it's Kevin Uhas. $25 super chat. Thank you very much, sir. Didn't mean to hit the mic. He says, buy all of the starting pitching. It's proven we will end the year with two anyways. Find our replacement bullpen and then buy more starting pitching. Well, there it is. We got $25 towards it, towards buying all of the pitching.
All of the pitching. I love it.
All right, this next one. Hold on. I think I need to lubricate slightly. Where's the bottle? They're all behind me, but
they're all bottles. They're all behind you. I mean, I can tee it off with Willie Adames. With big Willie style. The other big Willie style.
Yeah, listen, this is the other big name that I think is going to be kind of most linked to the Dodgers. He's already getting linked a whole bunch right now. Willie Adames, man. Yep. Like, I'll set us up here. Should the Dodgers be in on Willie Adames? That's kind of the root of this whole top 25 list or top 15 list. Number six on this list is Willie Adames. He's actually eight on the MLB.com list. But talking the news side of this today, the Dodgers made a proposal that, and at the same time, I think the Mets have also extended an offer, according to MLB Insider. Admittedly, I don't know this dude, but he seems to have some teeth in the game. But Mike Rodriguez says the Mets have reportedly offered a 7-year, $160 million deal. That's about a $23 million AAV, and that would also require him to move to third base. His camp says he wants to be a shortstop. Let me stay as a shortstop. Also, probably give me more money. Other, you know, pundits, insiders have kind of projected more of a 7 and 180, maybe even north of 200K. I don't think he gets a 200K, but Willie Adames, there's a lot of fit. There's a lot of you know, kind of helping future proof the team as well, because he can play some short, maybe slide over to third in the, you know, post Max Muncy era. You go ahead and let me know your thoughts here on Willy Adames.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first free agent that I think will really, like, the Dodgers will really be in on. I think the Dodgers will be in on everybody. They'll have conversations, they'll kick tires, but I think this is somebody that they'll actually submit like a real competitive offer for. And he's a power bat, he's an above average glove. He's going to hit you like 30 home runs. He'll play good defense, like I just said. I like him at short. I do. But my hesitation's always been, I don't know if they sign both Teo and Adames, and if it's between the two, give me Teoscar. Just because of the fit, just because you know what you're getting in a Teoscar Hernandez, and we don't really know how Willy Adames is going to fit in that clubhouse, although I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's a nice boy, and he'll get along just fine with the gentleman there in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, they signed Willy. He's been linked to the Dodgers for years and years and years. They tried to trade for him. They didn't work. The Brewers ended up making the postseason, whatever. I do think this is somewhere where he could land, because I don't really know where else he goes. The Mets want him to play third base. The Giants could be in on him as well, but they have a shortstop kind of in Tyler Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
The Braves have Orlando Arcia, so they don't really need a shortstop. There's not a lot of teams, because we just went through 2 years worth of a lot of shortstops being signed. The Orioles have Gunnar Henderson for another year. He could be on the market next year. Do the Dodgers wait till next year for that? I don't know. A lot of teams that are looking to compete have already locked up their shortstops, so I don't really know what his market's going to look like. So, yeah, maybe he signs a slightly lower deal, you know, something closer to like what Dansby signed. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 7 for $177 or something.
That's
like that.
That's a really good comp, yeah.
Maybe he gets something like, if it's like that, yeah, give it to me all day. Phrasing. But with all the shortstops locked up, I don't really know who else is gonna pay for this guy besides the Dodgers. Maybe the Yankees. But I don't think they got their sights on bigger fish right now. So
I mean, there's not a whole lot of bigger fish outside of like Juan Soto, but so,
that's a huge fish.
Yeah, absolutely. But they want infield help. They also are down, you know, at the moment. Oh yeah, here's my cheers to Right Field Pavilion. Fresh bottle, thank you very much. Right Field Pavilion again. Ooh. Oh, and Kevin Juhas. Adames, Mets. There's definitely some fitment there. I really do. I keep talking myself more into it because, listen, if we're talking about money when it comes to Willy Adames and the Dodgers are going to have some money available again next year. You're getting out from under the Chris Taylor contract. You know, Max Muncy only has I think he's only signed through next year as well. You don't know what his future is going to look like. You only have a couple more years of Freddie Freeman. To look beyond just 2025 and even 2026, the idea of bringing in somebody like Willy Adames, and admittedly, he's imperfect. I've seen some of the chat here saying, you know, he strikes out a lot, absolutely, and to add another dude with a lot of Ks in the lineup, it could be frustrating. That is just modern baseball. That's how the game works these days. Everybody strikes out. He sells out for power. That's how he became a 30 home run bat. Coming to L.A., he's going to play the game the right way. He's got a, you know, a BFF in Mookie Betts, so that I think also helps him out a whole lot. I'm pretty sure he was somebody who was drafted or signed by Andrew Friedman as well. So he does have some connective tissue to the Dodgers. But the biggest thing, having somebody that can play you some shortstop, can also slide over, play you some third base down the road if needed. If one of the Dodgers, you know, shortstop prospects pans out, or like you were mentioning, if they find more money, they happen upon more money, and Gunnar Henderson becomes a Dodger or something. And again, this is just spitballing. This is going crazy. This is Dodgers signing everybody. Again, I'm going to go with it. Future proofs the Dodgers in that they are going to lose some of these guys down the road. And this is, you know, kind of some of the conversation as well that we had in Discord in recent days about Willy Adames, is that when he's right, he's a very good shortstop. He's got an arm. He's got a plus bat. You know, the on base can be a little bit miss at times because his on base is very, weighted in his batting average. He did draw a career high 74 walks last year, but I think coming to the Dodgers, playing with Mookie, playing for something, not to say that the Brewers haven't been playing for something. I can see it happening, and I could still, flash forward. I could also still see them landing and re-signing Teoscar Hernandez as well. Both of those guys coming to LA, and you kind of again future-proof your outfield a little bit, future-proof your infield a lot more. Sarah Morris talking about Muncy gets hurt. They have that ability to have Willy Adames and it not be, Miggy Rowe, where you don't know if he's going to fall apart. Tommy Edman, you don't know if he's going to get traded. I'm sorry. Anyway, I don't know about him as a full-time guy, but Willy Adames is the best fit out there when it comes to position players. By far the best fit that would be available to the Dodgers. And again, the connection's already been there. The Dodgers are reportedly, in conversations in some way, shape, or form. And if the Mets offer is anything we could look at, 7-160 to play third, I think they could go more. I think the Dodgers can afford $25 million a year for a shortstop. That is how I feel about it. But if he doesn't come here, he probably will end up being a New York Met. Mets be signing up everybody.
Uncle Stevie's getting everybody.
He said make it rain, mofo. Rain. Actually, what I heard, the right field pavilion is actually Steve Cohen. It's a true story.
True story. Oh, yep. It's Steve Cohen's burner.
But definitely. Yeah, that's where I'm at. It could be the Mets. Could be the Dodgers. I don't see him going back to Milwaukee. That's kind of where I'm at with Willy Adames. But it's going to be interesting to watch that whole thing kind of continue to play out, because very good ball player, and how long he's been linked to the Dodgers. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time he comes to LA.
Yeah. And I forgot he was a Friedman guy. He was drafted by the Rays when Friedman was there. So he's been there for a while. Don't get me wrong, I like it. It's just, is the money going to be there? I just hope it doesn't preclude them from re-signing Teoscar. But that's just me. But what do I know? Well, as long as I'm not trying to trade Tommy Edman.
Plus that middle infield of Mookie and Willy Adames. That's fun.
It'd be nice.
That'd be really fun.
That's more athleticism in their pinky finger than like most people have on the entire face of the planet.
Yeah. Good. Oh, I would say a mostly good point here from Nonay220, saying Adames is overrated in his opinion, which is fair. He's the market. It's not robust in shortstops or infielders this year. But pointing out the Dodgers didn't want to pay Corey Seager, didn't want to pay Trey Turner, and now would be paying him $180 million. Adames, $180 million. I mean, there's a difference between $180 million and like $350 million, though. I think that's a big difference.
Especially when you're considering that $180 million is really like a $390 million contract, when you consider, or $370 million contract, when you consider the taxes that are going to be, because they're past that third apron or partition or whatever it's called in the CBT, every contract they give out, that's going to be hit with 110% tax. So it's going to be expensive, but the one thing they have going for them is, Seager was kind of his own thing. He's so he is unique. His bat will play no matter how old he gets. And when Trey Turner was out in the market, there were a ton of shortstops. So it just became a bidding war for shortstops. This year, they're all locked up. There's only handful of teams, and there's really only one team that's going to, shell out money for it, and it's the Dodgers. So I don't know. I could see him making a little less than we think.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, 25, it's still less than the incredibly great deal that Freddie Freeman is on, which is 27.5? $25 million a year for a shortstop that could down the road be your third baseman as well. It's a good position. I realize the show has been going on for a while. Looks like, there's a bunch of people in the chat. Appreciate you guys hanging out. We'll keep it rolling because we're only at number six. of our top 15.
Next ones will go a little bit quicker.
Yeah, we'll speed run through a few of these. Let's talk Jack Flaherty. The spoiler on this, you know, asking the question, could we see him return? No, I don't think Jack Flaherty returns. I think he's earned himself a pretty nice payday, and I don't know that the Dodgers want to commit to a pretty nice payday for what they saw with them. On top of that, you know, I see your logic in saying just get me pitchers that can get outs, but I feel like they still have too many right-handed pitchers, especially with Gonsolin returning, with Dustin May returning. I don't see the fitment with Jack Flaherty. What's your take on Flaherty?
Yeah, I don't see him re-signing with the Dodgers. I think he did very well. Thank you, Jack. Thank you for your services. Literally can't win the division, can't win the World Series without him. It's awesome what he did for his hometown team. I actually have him going. I have the Rangers for in on a lot of pitchers because they need pitching help really badly. Yeah. I also have him as a fit for the Orioles, who need kind of a little bit of depth. They have some frontline guys, but they don't really have a number four or number five or a consistent four or five, and they're losing Corbin Burnes potentially.
Yeah.
So I think Jack Flaherty fits kind of nicely into their rotation, and they don't want to spend top dollar. They want to spend a little bit of money, and I think this is like kind of that sweet spot of, hey, this isn't ace level money, but it's good enough money, and he'll put butts in the seats.
Where I'll poke a hole in that is after he was traded there in 23, Flaherty was bad. He was really bad for the Orioles, and Orioles. I don't know that he left a good taste in their mouth. Phrasing, somebody in the chat, Mark, is it Mark Davis Hooker in the chat? Talking to the chat all night. Appreciate you, Mark. But what a phenomenal comment here. This is Jack Flaherty. Is Mike the situation? That's very good. That is some very good stuff. Yeah, he's an interesting character. Very good pitcher. They brought him in and he did the job he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great Orioles team. I mean, they were better than they had been. And he, like, his numbers aren't fantastic either. He's a career 3.63 guy, but that's, like, held on by duct tape and glue through, like, 1 year in 2019 with a 2.75. Like, realistically, he's probably a mid-threes, low-fours kind of guy. And I think the Dodgers found something. I think the Orioles could just kind of tap back into that. And again, just ask him, hey, man, we don't need, because I think when they traded for him, they had just lost their young buck. I can't remember his name.
I know you're talking about too. Yeah.
He's like, I think he throws his left hand. They had just lost him. So they traded for Flaherty and he was kind of coming in like leverage. Like, hey, we need to kind of ride you a little bit. You don't got to do that anymore. They get him back. And he just gets to kind of be just a dude in a good team on a good in a good rotation with good fielding behind him, I think, is something that to think about as well. Flaherty is inconsistent. Yeah, I agree, which is kind of why I don't think the Dodgers need him. I think for what he is, I think they'd rather just look at some younger arms or some cheaper arms. There's one guy a little bit later down in this list that I think the Dodgers be more interested in.
Yeah, on the Flaherty, my last point is I think the organization would be more interested in seeing what Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, eventually Emmett Sheehan look like before. Yep. Maybe even Nick Frasso, who will be coming back from shoulder surgery. See some of the guys they already have internal before bringing aboard somebody who, again, perfect. He did his job great in the regular season. He provided some innings. Wasn't phenomenal, but yeah, he did what he was supposed to do. Come here, win a ring. You can go ahead and get the hell out of here. Next, we'll go through these ones definitely a lot quicker. Tanner Scott, I don't think the Dodgers will be in, spoiler, on a reliever. Like you said at the top of this segment as well, Andrew Friedman does not spend money on top relievers.
Yep, I have him going to the Diamondbacks or the Cubs. I think both those teams need relief pitching. They'll spend for relief pitching. I think the Diamondbacks want somebody after Paul Sewald. After the Dodgers broke Paul Sewald,
that's a good point.
They'll need another reliever, and you get Tanner Scott, who just kind of owns Shohei Ohtani. Call it like you see it. Hey, man, you're gonna have to face Shohei Ohtani, 60 times next year. Might as well have a guy that can at least get him out 7, 8, 9 times.
That's fair. Oh, I didn't say Flaherty. I think could be a Yankee, or I think you had also mentioned the Rangers. Flaherty, one of those teams, third down the line. Maybe he does come back to the Dodgers with Tanner Scott. I have a return to San Diego or to the Phillies. I would put the Dodgers like super far back if he happens fall like super low somehow in his value. But yeah, the Phillies, they want some more arms in that bullpen is my feeling. Quickly, Shane Bieber. Really? Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just this is somebody who's not on the list. Raken Bake switching outfielder has 40 homer ability. I think he's talking about Anthony Santander. I don't think the Dodgers are going to be in on Santander at all.
So we didn't have him. Didn't have him on the list. We omitted Santander, Pete Alonso, Christian Walker, Michael Wacha, of course, signed a deal. No Gleyber Torres, no Tyler O'Neill, none of those guys. No Jurickson Profar for sure. But next one, Shane Bieber, no. Just that simple, no. Bieber, I have Baltimore or the Angels. That's what I had in my brain. And this is me just pulling teams out of my ass.
I got Dodgers on Bieber. I think he's the exact kind of pitcher that Dodgers love to sign. He's coming off TJ. He's coming off a down year. Wants to revitalize his market a little bit. His velocity ticked down in 22 and 23, which decreased his strikeout rate. The Dodgers are one of the best in the business at increasing velocity, because that's kind of their entire, organizational perspective, is let's get these guys to throw as hard as they can. He's had two great years. He's had two great years in 21 and 22, right? 3.17 and 2.88 ERA. And then he kind of fell apart a little bit. The strikeouts weren't there and he got hurt. I think this is somebody the Dodgers could bring in, rehab him, get him in on like a 2-year deal, will be cheap, similar to what they did with like Tommy Canley. I agree. He is massively overrated, which is why I don't think he'll be very expensive. I don't think a lot of teams are going to be in on him. And I think if you ask Shane Bieber, hey, man, 2 years, $22 million, come play with the Dodgers. We'll rehab you. We'll get you a market. Get in with our doctors, with our training staff.
Dr. Neal's already so busy.
He doesn't have to do any work because the ligament's already repaired.
That's fair.
I think that's something he could say yes to. And I think he's the kind of pitcher that the Dodgers could kind of fix a little bit. I don't think it's I think it'd be on a cheap deal. He'd be a number 4 guy, a number 5 guy with a real potential. It would be like what they kind of wanted to get out of Noah Syndergaard. But this would be a more realistic chance of getting him back to where he once was. That's why I'm in on Bieber.
I like kind of the thread going on the chat, which is not another project. I would like to not see another project when you already have so many injured pitchers on the roster as it is, with Emmett Sheehan, again, Nick Frasso coming back. You won't see Gavin Stone, Kyle Hurt. You won't see River Ryan this year. But there are a lot of dudes who are already kind of around, a little bit of broken. Like to move ahead to number 15 on our list, I'd rather see like a Yusei Kikuchi be a 1-year stopgap innings, maybe the next James Paxton, who also stays with the team, which I don't think. I think he'll actually get a reasonable deal. But yeah, I would rather see them maybe the next guy. Let's look at Nate Eovaldi. Because long time former Dodger, because he was a Dodger back in 2012, 2011, all that, opted out of his deal with the Rangers. I got him going back to the Rangers or signing with Houston because Houston needs pitching. But Nate Eovaldi, I mean, if you're talking about somebody who's a postseason dog, it's Nathan Eovaldi. Do you think there could be a Nate Eovaldi reunion?
Thirty-five
years old now, so he's going to take a shorter deal and probably wants to win again.
Yeah, I think he's definitely somebody that I had. It's similar to the Shane Bieber situation. It's a guy getting me on a short-term contract that wants to kind of maybe make an name for himself or just kind of chase a chip at this point. I did have a potentially going to the Astros. The other team I had was maybe the Rays. The Rays are getting back some key arms in their rotation and also could use some depth. And I don't think Eovaldi will be all that expensive, especially because he's not a big regular season performer. His regular season numbers are actually not very good. It's that postseason. So maybe, again, a 1+1, a 2-year deal, not super expensive. I could definitely see Eovaldi coming in.
He's a piece that would probably take a 2 or 3 year deal. I still do think he stays in Texas. But if you're looking for somebody that, in my opinion, is an upgrade over Jack Flaherty, I think there's more consistency there. And to kind of let him maybe finish his career out as a Dodger. He would win a third World Series with his third different team, which would be kind of cool. Because he was with the Rangers in 23, right? I think he was. Yeah, pretty sure he was.
Yeah.
So, do I think it's not very, not super likely. Like, if his market doesn't develop and he's still available by, like, mid-January, maybe there's a Nathan Eovaldi, but I still think either Texas resigns him again or Houston. All right, this one shouldn't be this one shouldn't surprise people very much, but Teoscar Hernandez, we've talked around him a little bit. Rumors today, this week, have linked the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles now to Teo in free agency, but everybody in the world wants him back. He wants to be back. Is there any way the Dodgers mess this up and let him go?
Yeah. I mean, I there's a way they can. Of course there is. I don't know how, but they could.
Don't say it. Like, don't put it into the world.
In a world of infinite possibilities, yeah, why not? But I don't see how they could. There's a way. Again, we talked about this. When you've got a guy that wants to be a Dodger, was so successful for you, took a bet on himself, succeeded in, you know, he took a 1 year, $22 million or whatever it was. It was a 1 year deal, and he blew a mid-20s contract out of the water with how well he performed. Yeah, just give me that all day. Everyone in the clubhouse loves him. You know, with the sunflower seeds, he's a great teammate with Shohei, which, you know, all that stuff matters. That clubhouse glue, when you've got a bunch of superstars on a team, the glue matters, which is why I'm more in on Teoscar than I am Soto, because of what he brings, those intangibles, day in and day out on the field. And he even said, I forget when, I don't know if it was in the after the World Series or it was in the middle of the season, he's been working on his outfield defense. He made it a point in this past year to really work on it. And, you know, he had some flubs. He kind of dogged a couple balls that he probably could have gotten to if he tried a little harder. You know, a couple bad routes here and there. But the defense wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
By postseason get him another time, year. Yeah. He was
get
solid.
Him another year. World Series champs. You got to stay hungry. You know, Mookie's going to be hungry. Get in Mook's ear. Hey, man, how do I do this? How do I? Because he might play right field next year. And if he does, no one better to teach you or to help you understand the position than Mookie Betts. I'm all in on Teoscar. Yeah, I think the qualifying is 21-5. If you get him in for like 3 for 63, 3 for 60, yeah, it just gives me. I
think it's got to be more, man. I think it ends up being more. I don't care what the price is.
It's just years.
Yeah.
It's just years.
And that's a big thing. Like, you have to honor him for what he did for your organization and how important he was during this run. That's bar none. You have to give him an amount of money and years that's fair. He's also kind of, you know, given himself slightly less leverage. Slightly leverage. Less yeah. leverage in this and saying, no, I want to go there. That's where I want to be. Let me be there, please. But still, give him... You have some money. Give him some money, please. I'm thinking somewhere like 3 and 81 with a fourth year option, because it's only 3 years. It's not trying to get to 4 years or 5 years. So he does have a little bit more time. It's almost like the AJ Pollock deal, just a little bit more lucrative, but it's very similar to the AJ Pollock deal. And what is it, $27 million a year, something like that? I think that's the AAV for Teoscar Hernandez. That's still, like, he is the second best outfielder, depending on how you feel about Santander, who put up a career year this year for sure. He's the second best outfielder available on the free agent market. He performs in your city. He performs at the highest level in the most important moments where you have failed, where you had failed in the previous 2 years. You need him back. Dave wants him back. The organization wants him back. He wants to be back. Dodgers, don't fuck it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's just a year's thing. Just make sure, you know, as soon as it hits that five, you know, six, it kind of gets, you know, I think four would be kind of where I would put a cap on it. But
that's why I have the fourth year option, too. It's like option.
I agree. Yeah. I'm in complete alignment with like your contract. I don't care. The money doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the Dodgers. So just make sure you get their years right.
Kenny Chung agrees with the deal. The 80-3 with the option should get it done for Teo. Somebody's saying BC says $27 million, but $27 million is the same as Freddie and almost as much as Mookie. He's not as good as them. Well, it's a different market. different market now. Things have changed. You know, Mookie signed an incredibly lucrative deal, which he gets. His AAV is like 32, I think it is.
Yeah, he said it was 12 years, 365.
So. Everybody knows that Freddie is undervalued. His deal is undervalued for sure because, you know, well, once the Braves closed the door, he was like, well, I just want to go there. I don't necessarily care. Just pay me fairly and give me more so that extra year, which was the whole sticking point for Freddie returning to Atlanta. But if you're talking about, you know, DJ Jesse saying no to Soto, that's what it is. It's like you have no outfielders as it is, especially now Mookie Betts moving into the back into the infield. They're not going to get Soto, and Soto's worth double the amount, double the money. And I understand, like, Teoscar Hernandez, historically, he's not very good defensively on numbers, but the boy's trying. He's working. Yep. Richie Flores says, with $1.99 Super Chat, thank you very much, Richard, says, just sign Teoscar. Don't F around and F Juan Soto. So I think he really feels like he's still a Padre.
And Joseph Angel brings up a great point. Teo is great in left-handers. I agree. Talked about this in the last podcast. The Dodgers are much maligned with their approach to left-handed pitching. It was always a problem. Basically, Teoscar by himself solved it in one season. So, everything about it, the fits there. Just get him back. I don't know. Just figure it out. He wants to be back. Like, for a guy who wants to be back, it really shouldn't be that hard to get him back, right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah. Listen, Shohei Ohtani is helping you out financially to make moves like that happen. And do you think, like, Freddie Freeman cares that, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, who's perceived as not as good as him, is getting almost as much money as him? I don't think he cares. I think he wants to bring it back, bring these boys back, go out and win. This team wants to win, and this core, this nucleus worked. And Teoscar Hernandez, he stayed on the field. He was there. He was in it for the most part, outside of, you know, that foul ball off his foot where we all, you know, got terrified in September.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to give you PTSD. All right, anyways, let's move on. I got another name, a name Dodgers fans loved for a long time, even though he was a Padre. But this is number 16 on the MLB list, number 12 on our list. Ha-Sung Kim, coming off of surgery. Christopher Navarro says, with the $5 Super Chat, thank you very much, Chris. So sign Willie Nostradamus. It's hard to say Nostradamus. Nostradamus, I get it. Sign Willie Adamus. I agree with Chris, Christopher Navarro. Appreciate the Super Chat, Chris. But back to what I was saying. Ha-Sung Kim, somebody the Dodgers have long been linked to, Dodgers fans have long kind of clamored for, even beyond the Padres' stink to him. He had surgery, had a down platform year in 24. He's not going back to the Padres. They already have way too many shortstops and infielders. I will say I'm mixed on Ha-Sung Kim. If it's like a one-year prove-it deal, maybe. But a year ago, if you talked to me this time a year ago, I would have been all in on Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, he was a really, really good bat when he was healthy, but also like one of the top defensive shortstops in the game. And if you're able to plug him in at shortstop, you would feel pretty good about it. So what's your, what's kind of the pulse for you on Ha-Sung Kim?
Kim is tough. He's so weird. So he's racked up 5 WAR effectively in 22 and 23, but he's like a league average bat. He's 105, 107 OPS plus, 708, 749 OPS. So like the bat has to play. He's coming off shoulder, like massive shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. You don't know when he's going to be healthy next year. I think the Dodgers need a shortstop that can just kind of plug and play like now. I don't know how, like, I understand that Nicky Rowe has been amazing. My whole problem with last year was I didn't want him playing every day because he will break down eventually and look, oh my God, he did. So I know. So I just, if it's the last option, I'll talk myself into it. It's not hard. He does have a good glove, but there is no timetable when he's going to return. I have real questions about his bat at this point, even when he does return, because it is a shoulder injury. I forget which shoulder it is precisely. I think it's his glove hand, so that would be his left.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was.
So it's his lead shoulder.
Yeah, there's definitely power isn't his game.
It's hard to make contact. That swing's not going to necessarily be right. I would be very cautious signing Ha-Seong Kim. I know a lot of talks have been about him going to the Giants. I think that fit is better because they value infield defense pretty much more than anything.
And they still need some help on defense bad up in the Bay.
They really do. I also have him maybe going to the Yankees just because he's going to play ball the right way. And we just heard what Joe Kelly said about how poorly the Yankees played, and we all kind of saw it on live. But I could see it happening, but I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't feel amazing about it if it was like 1 year for like $6 million. Sure.
Gun to your head. Imagine everybody's fully healthy. Would you take an opening day shortstop of Ha-Seong Kim for the Dodgers? Ha-Seong Kim, Gavin Lux, or Tommy Edman?
Oh God, Ha-Seong Kim. If he's fully healthy, I'll take him.
And that's because
he can actually play shortstop, and I really want Edman to play center field next year. I just would rather him be in the outfield.
Listen, not enough is said about the fact that the Dodgers do not have a center fielder if Tommy Edman is playing shortstop.
Correct.
And if they signed Teoscar, then Andy Páez is your center fielder, or Tommy Edman is the guy. But even so, he's a Gold Glove second baseman. Just saying. I would take a healthy Kim, and if it is a 1 year prove it deal, that would be cool. That said, fully agree with you. It's either going to be the Giants, or maybe he ends up being the Willy Adames replacement in Milwaukee. And I think he's been actually linked to both of those teams. Milwaukee, they need a replace. We know Willie's not going back. I guess that's the point I'm trying to get to. Willy Adames is not going back to Milwaukee. That's a fact. I plainly don't see Ha-Seong Kim. Maybe down the road, maybe somewhere where he's healthy. I mean, puts up another platform year.
Clubhouse wise, he's everything. Everybody in the Padres organization, everybody, the fans, everybody loves Ha-Seong Kim. There's nothing to not like about the guy. There's just real concern about will his bat play. He's had trouble catching up to his struggles with velocity were very well documented when he came over. It took him a really long time. He still struggled with it. Now you're talking a shoulder injury with his lead shoulder.
That was with two functioning shoulders.
I know, exactly. I don't think the offense is going to play. So I wouldn't stay very far away, but it would need to be very convincing in order for me to like the signing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Let's move on to this list. Here's a name I don't really care to talk about just because we know the Dodgers aren't in on relievers. So the next two names, really, Carlos Estevez and Clay Holmes. I'll just say this. I don't even have teams for them. I had Holmes going to Philly. They will not be Dodgers. That's the important thing. The Dodgers just plainly do not sign relievers. And there's a good chance Dustin May ends up in the bullpen, where I said back in December or January he needed to be if he ever wants to make it in this career as a pitcher, or in his career as a pitcher. I don't care about either of these dudes. They don't tickle my pickle. Give me Blake Treinen before I see either of these guys in Dodger blue.
Well, these guys would be a lot cheaper than Blake Treinen. But yeah, I have Estevez going to the Rangers or the Cubs, and then I have Clay Holmes going to the Rays or the Red Sox. Just Clay Holmes, he
Holmes and the Red Sox. Ouch.
Yeah, well, exactly. He lost the closing job with the Yankees. I mean, rightfully so, he was bad. But I think the AL East familiarity plays, and then the Rays would want to, again, they're just kind of a pitching factory, just like the Dodgers. But they actually will occasionally sign a relief pitcher, whereas the Dodgers just never do. So
we got one more on the list, and then we got two bonuses, and then we will get the hell out of here. But I'm going to tell you right now again, because Jenny Vega brought it up, and that's a good point. Guys, subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed yet. We're going to be here all off season long talking about this stuff, just bringing honest conversation. We're not trying to sell you on anything. We're just trying to sell you on watching us. That's about it, talking Dodger baseball. So hopefully you hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button if you have not yet. That's another thing that really helps us out on YouTube. Boost it in the algorithm. Share the show with like-minded Dodger fan friends, that's another thing that really helps out. Now, final name, you say Kikuchi and I say Kikuchi. I'm sorry, I ruined everything.
Why?
Guys, unsubscribe. Why? I don't blame you. But Yusei Kikuchi, he was linked to the team last year when they were like linked to everybody at the trade deadline. There was a point in time when he was a Mariner and I was in on him being a Dodger. I would rather see Kikuchi over like a Flaherty just because there's a lefty factor. But if there's going to be a Japanese, another Japanese pitcher joining the Dodgers, let it be Roki Sasaki.
Yeah. He beat my allegations last year, which was he's a poor second half performer. He actually did very well for the Astros when they traded for him. So good for him. Finally, beating those allegations. I see him either going back to Houston. Or I actually see him going to the Tigers.
Tiger.
I think they could pay for a mid level starting pitcher.
Hey, it worked for them. It worked for them when they signed Flaherty to that deal because they were able to move him. But if it's a multi year deal,
Maybe again. I don't know what his market's going to be. How old is he? He's like 34, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's 33. He'll be 34 like in the early parts of the season. So I don't know what his market's going to look like.
Yeah,
pitching market is so weird. It's impossible to predict because teams just pay so much money. But yeah. I don't see him coming over to the Dodgers.
Yeah, my thing is I think he's back with Houston, or he would be my guy who the Angels signed. Like you had mentioned, I think Bieber going to the Angels or somebody going to the Angels.
Yeah, Snell going to the Angels.
Listen, you say Kikuchi is probably a little more up Artie's wheelhouse. He's not going to be that expensive. It's not going to be a massive commitment. Artie Moreno hates pitchers. He doesn't want the team to be good.
No, but he loves signing big names to contracts. That's fair. Especially players that don't always play. So,
Bruh. All right, let's get into our bonus guys here. Walker Buehler. We've talked about Walker already this offseason on the channel. I said he yesterday on Dodgers territory in our much maligned segment of, five Dodgers who won't be back. I said I don't think he'll be back because the Dodgers aren't going to offer him a multi-year deal, and other teams are going to see the track record, see what he did in the postseason. One of the things I really do love from that on base with Mookie and Dave Roberts was the fact that we learned Dave called out Walker Buehler specifically. Saying, "Listen, I need you to go on a fucking heater right now." That was sexy. That was romantic. It's about time Dave learned how to manage. Are we ever going to be able to say fire Dave Roberts again?
No.
It's so fun with these people.
It's going to take a just historically bad stretch of baseball for that to happen.
Or again, literally him going into Mark Walter's office and just straight up dumping on his desk. But guys, sorry for the image. I understand that's not Dave Roberts' style.
We got half the image where he was dancing with Ice Cube.
Oh no. Walker Buehler should be back. I would love to see him back. Give me him over the Flaherty. Give me him over the Kikuchi. And I understand he is somebody that kind of comes with question marks. But he would be now that much further removed from Tommy John. He would be somebody who now has the knowledge. The friends we made along the way is the fact that he's not the guy he used to be. He's not 98, 99 Walker. He learned how to pitch after Dave told him to go on a heater. That night, by the way, the night in Atlanta, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 walks. But we don't need to talk about the walks.
No,
6 innings, 1 run. Next start, it was 5 1/3 with 4 runs. And then his final start was 5 innings, 1 earned run as well, I think is what it was. 5-1 or 5-none. But I think Walker Buehler found something. I think he's ready to be not a Walker Buehler of old, but a Walker Buehler 2.0. Oh, Donnie Boy in the chat says no one understands the intangibles of Walker more than the Dodgers. And I agree with that. I think he gets the team. They get him. I mean, to have the last image of him be, him wearing Oral Hershiser's jersey, that doesn't sit well with me. He needs to be back.
Hitting a beer bong, that was so cool. Anyway, yeah, I agree. One thing, I think not that they hold them in the same regard, but I think they hold them in similar regard. I think the Dodgers as an organization might hold Walker in the same regard as they do, or similar regard as they do Clayton, because of he's been there a really long time. They drafted him. They've developed him. He, you know, he's done a lot for this organization. He literally blew out his elbow to try to keep that playoff dream alive back in 21. Or 21. So what I wouldn't be surprised by is if they do a 1+1, but the plus one is a player option. I know Andrew Friedman loves doing team options because it gives them the control. I wouldn't be shocked if they say, hey, look, we'll give you like, I don't know, we'll give you 2 for 34, but the second year is a player option. And if you outperform it, go crazy. We went to the World Series and you want more money, go nuts, go crazy.
Yeah.
But
by
we'll
then, maybe he would have earned that opportunity to return as well for a higher payday from the Dodgers.
Exactly. And then they can restructure it there. I could see that. They don't do it pretty much ever, but I think like if an exception could be made, it's for Clayton Kershaw and it's for Walker Buehler. So I can see something like that happen. I do think they definitely need to bring him back. I think it would kind of be a bad clubhouse move if he doesn't. I think a lot of people would look around and go, this is an organization known for rewarding its players.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Yeah. Elisheva Jones in the chat saying Walker Buehler is a total competitor. He's a postseason dog. You need these guys that step up. And the next guy will be super short on the next bonus guy, Kike Hernandez. I think he needs to be back. I don't know what kind of contract he's looking for. I don't know what kind of contract he thinks he's worth.
I don't know what kind of playing time he thinks he's worth at this point.
It's very interesting, but the intangible is that he's very good in a Dodger uniform in the postseason. Generally, he's very good in the postseason. Yeah. And when he's not a Dodger, the Dodgers don't do very well in the postseason. They also kind of do bad in 23, but that was a whole different story. But Kike, if it's like 2 and 20, that feels like a lot. But guess what? Chris Taylor's making $17 million with the buyout. Hey, Chris Taylor's making a lot of money.
Not until they trade him to the Cardinals for Sonny Gray.
anyways, go ahead.
I don't know what he makes. They should bring him back. We were talking about this all last year. It's a lot of people wanted to trade Kike or cut him, or how long can we serve this? Like, guys, this is not why he's here. He's here for October, and look what happened. He got to October, and we were so happy Kike. Like, we were so happy that Kike was there. We didn't want Rojas to return. We're like, no. You stay over there. Stay on the bench, please.
Yeah, he's that guy, man. There's something about those postseason intangibles, and that's what I think makes both Buehler and Kike so special, so important to this team. You have to have these dudes that, you understand there's 162 games before there's meaningful baseball, but eventually you get to October, and you need to have these guys that know what the fuck they're doing in October, and these guys do it. These guys absolutely do it. JR says in the chat, a lot of new names in the chat. Hope Clint remembers the OGs. Absolutely. Listen, all people are welcome. All people are encouraged. My OGs, I love the hell out of you. You guys have been riding and dying for almost a year, a full season of doing this particular show. Of course, the other show for all that time. But that's about it. I mean, we talked a long time today. I almost feel like Gritty Scotty G and the boys at Dodger Blue. I see it like all the time. Their show going like 2 or 3 hours. I'm like, how the fuck why do you guys do that? But I appreciate you guys rocking with us, hanging out. The chat was lit. Says right now, even this deep into the show, between X and YouTube, almost over 650 people live with us right now. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Elisheva Jones, what is OG? I mean, so the original gangsta. You guys have been with us. They're day ones. There it is. Your day ones, like Jeff Snyder likes to say.
I thought it was 2/3 of Pog.
All right, I'm going to kick you out right there. Guys, but anyways, the point here is thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us today on this Thirsty Thursday. I'm going to be gone this weekend, so I'm probably going to cut this show up and kind of let people who don't like sitting around for 2 hours of a show hear our thoughts on Juan Soto, hear our thoughts on you know, some other names we mentioned in here. So if you see it pop up on the channel again, hey, go ahead, click on that and give it a like. You share it to your friends there as well. Those things really do help out the channel. But yeah, again, that's about it. Thank you guys for the comments, the questions, keeping the chat going while Kevin and I were chatting. The super chats, always got a shout out. The man, the myth, the legend, the Right Field Pavilion. It's my favorite place to get all you can eat and my favorite name to see here on the YouTube because... you know, $100 is $100, as the kids say, or something like that. But got to thank also our channel members, the supporters of the channel here on YouTube, on Patreon. You guys mean a lot to us. Cannot express how you know how important that is to making us feel warm and loved, or something like that. I'll say it again: if you're looking for a different way to support the show, support independent Dodgers coverage, while also being able to talk to us more, join us on Discord, talk about Dodger baseball, all that kind of stuff through the off season. Less than the price of a Dodger dog, $5 a month. Join us on patreon.com/realfrg or click the join button here on YouTube, and I'll get you signed up on Patreon that way. Shout out to the mods for doing a kick-ass job in the chat, as always. That there is producer Kevin. Find him at Skinner7Kevin on the X. I'm RealFRG on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Follow me to see me drunk and freezing on a mountain this weekend. All Dodgers is presented by Bet Online, and we'll see you on the next one. Okay? Bye!